Hi everyone, my name is Henesis Disla from Armhug, and I'm here with another special guest. This is Naweed Z. Marialine. He is the founder and CEO of Travel Lab. So Naweed, can you get us started with how did you start Travel Lab?
Absolutely. Thank you for the introduction, Henesis, and happy that you have me on your podcast here. To keep it real simple, Travel Lab started because I was a mobile phlebotomist and I thought that mobile phlebotomy could be done better.
Yeah. Awesome. And what is Travel Lab?
Travel Lab is a nationwide mobile phlebotomy service, and we specialize in working with diagnostic companies, research groups, clinical trials teams, just private practices. And then we have our network of mobile phlebotomists that we deploy to go out there and service these patients.
So anyone who is a mobile phlebotomist independently or a small business mobile phlebotomist can participate?
That's a great question. We are open to both, actually. The majority of our network is an independent individual person. But if they're a small company and they have additional mobile phlebotomists, we have a way to kind of onboard that entire organization. We've built an app for it. So each person will have an app on their phone. They will always get notified about any draws in their area. Once they get notified, there's certain, protocols to get in contact with the patient. Collect the sample, drop it off. And one of the, primary incentives that we have in place for our mobile phlebotomists is that we pay them as they complete draws. So in their app, they'll be connected with their bank account. And as they drop samples off and scan that barcode, they will be paid for it.
And what's your screening process like for each mobile phlebotomist?
Sure. I mean, as you know, mobile phlebotomy is very different than a clinical phlebotomist. There is no staff nurse. There is no manager. It's you and the patient. So there is a certain process that we go through, a vetting process initially, a background screening, ensuring that their credentials are valid, and then kind of walking through a little bit about their experiences. When our recruitment talks to someone who does this, who has been doing this, it's fairly quick that they know that, right? And it's just a couple key points, and we can easily tell if this is someone new to the industry or someone who's been doing this in the industry. We do like to take experienced mobile phlebotomists, as our demographic of patients are always changing. But we also have people who are just motivated, encouraged. They haven't done mobile phlebotomy, but they have that drive. They're willing to learn. And we also open the window for some of those individuals as well.
So this is more for experienced phlebotomists, not people who just got out of school.
This is more for an experienced phlebotomist. Unfortunately, it's hard to take people out of school. There's a certain level of experience that they need to have acquired in a clinical setting, usually 2 to 3 years of full-time work. And then we feel confident enough to bring them on board. And again, it's on a per situation type of a case. I'm sorry.
Okay. And you guys are located where?
So our main office is out of the San Francisco Bay Area, but we have technicians all over the country. We're getting work all over the country. Some of our key staff members are from the likes of in Kansas and Texas, and some of the other people, some of our other staff are in Florida. So we have some staff members that are kind of scattered across the country, but the network is nationwide and we are drawing blood in all 50 states.
Wow. Do you guys provide the supplies?
That's a great question. And oftentimes we do get this question. How it works is the labs that we work with, the partners that we work with, will always deploy a kit to the patients. And in this kit, they have the tubes, they have the requisition form, they have the shipping supplies, they have the return label, all the things needed, all the supplies needed to Perform the draw except the actual phlebotomy supplies. This includes the needle, the gauze, the tourniquet, the band-aid, the alcohol wipe, gloves, scrubs, lab coat, face mask, all these key things. As of lately, I am seeing more companies including some of these supplies in the kit. But to be consistent, we are ensuring that our mobile phlebotomists have their own supplies before in the initial onboarding process.
Okay, makes sense. So if someone is already running a business or doing mobile with someone else, they could still join your platform.
Absolutely. We're not exclusive to any one person or any one group. Our goal is to become the nation's largest mobile phlebotomy network. Wow. And with these key incentives, right, we really want to make sure that they're being taken care of, that they're getting paid on time, that their mileage is getting paid for. And so we're really, really trying to set the standard on what mobile phlebotomy should be like. So I think, you know, one of the biggest pain points for mobile phlebotomists is, you know, let's say you're using your supplies, you're going out to kind of a patient in a rural area, so you're paying another $50, $60 on mileage. So now you're out $50, $60, you're out supplies, and you're doing the service, which is another $30, $40, whatever it is. That comes out to a little over $100 that you're out on today, and you have to wait 30 days to get paid.
Right.
Being that this is a gig economy, right, and we're always looking for gigs to do, I just didn't think it was fair that a mobile phlebotomist is doing all this work and now they have to wait 30 days to get paid for it, right? Like us as a service provider in the company, that's one thing. We have these service agreements in place. We know the money's coming at the end of the month, et cetera. But what about this network? Like they're relying on this, right? They're relying on this. I'm taking away $100 from them, and then I'm expecting them to do more and more tomorrow, right? By the end of the month, if you add up that $100 a day, we're talking $2,000-$3,000 that they're out, that they have to wait on the following month. And I didn't think that was fair, and I didn't like that. And it's just not encouraging, and it's not motivating, right? Like if I have to go out $100 out of pocket, it's just not as motivating for me to go out and get something done. So one of the key components that I really wanted to include in our kind of platform was a pay-as-you-go environment. I think as the job is done, you should get paid for it. And it's really that simple. So in our mobile app, we've designed it so that as soon as mobile phlebotomists drop the sample off and the barcode is scanned, that means you did your job. Our chain of custody now is terminated. And now it's up to the courier service to get that sample back to the lab on time. And so they should be paid for it, right? And so that's, we initiate the payment via their app. It usually takes a day before it hits the account, as any other processing kind of a system goes. And then to add to that, we also cover, we don't pay for the first 25 miles of any trip, round trip, but we do pay the IRS rate of 66 cents after that. There's a lot of companies that are covering like 50 miles or 35 miles, but you know, I think 25 miles is already a good point. Gas is not cheap these days. And even that gets a little hard to cover. So 25 miles, let's say something is round trip 60 miles. It will calculate, it will take off the first 25 miles and pay you at the 66 cents a mile rate for the remainder 35 miles. And that will be included on top of the service fee. So let's say you're getting like 35, 40 bucks for the draw. Right. You're getting $35 for the mileage. And that 70 total, that total amount will be, once it's completed, that total amount will be deposited into your account.
Are there other platforms like this out there?
So, you know, there is a lot of tech companies, right, who are doing this plug and play model where they have all the tech and they think that they can just plug a service or a niche in there. Mobile phlebotomy is one of them. But what they fail to understand is some of the key components of being a mobile phlebotomist. It's not someone to come and change your cable. It's not someone to come and change your internet. This is someone coming to do a minor procedure. And you might not be the only patient for the day, right? So that we have to take that into consideration as well. So I like to think of it that, we are kind of like the Uber of phlebotomy, except that the rider uses the website to schedule and the mobile phlebotomist uses the app. So we're the Uber with the riders and the drivers. The other platforms that are out there are just platforms. They're the Uber without the riders and without the drivers. And they try to invite riders and drivers from all different spectrums of health. And they are just charging a flat fee to connect these two people. The problem is the level of transparency, accountability, the level of confidence, the incentives for the mobile phlebotomist to go out there, it just lacks all of those key components, right? And so that's why, for example, if I'm working through a platform and I see a job on there, there's nobody to call. I have to somehow figure out how to call the patient. Patient doesn't know what they're, what kind of kit they have. It's just too much back and forth going on. We have really cleaned that up and made this as seamless of a process as possible so that the mobile phlebotomist knows all the things they need to know. They know exactly what they're walking into. And that patient also knows exactly who's coming over and who's doing the job for them.
What are some of the reviews? Like, what are some of the positive things they've been saying about this?
Absolutely. So, reviews can be based on experience, right? We're not perfect. Obviously, there are things that we can improve on. Not every single patient has the best experience, but I would say about 95% of them are having a very positive, good experience. We have amazing turnaround times and we're very flexible to work with patients. I mean, we get tutorials every day about how so-and-so was so nice and they were so clean and they made them feel so comfortable and they were so punctual. And so we get a lot of very interesting tutorials. The demographics of our patients include healthy patients to, patients who are going cancer treatments to patients who are in clinical trials team. So it's definitely a different demographic of patients. And, a lot of patients don't even know this service exists.
Yeah,
right.
I agree.
And so they're like, hold on. So I'm coming to a clinic. No, we're actually coming to your house and we're drawing the blood and we're taking care of it from there on out. I think COVID and the pandemic shed a lot of light on things that are happening outside of the clinic that could be happening in the home. Mobile phlebotomy was here way before COVID. And during that time, I didn't want to deviate my focus away from COVID. I'm sorry, from blood draws and get into COVID. So we got approached to all this COVID money and COVID testing stuff. And we really didn't touch it too much because we were really focused on mobile phlebotomy and the diagnostic realm.
So can you talk a little bit about what the first step would be? They go to your website, they sign up, they go through a screening process, and then they book and schedule on their own time.
I'll go into the details of how the whole flow works, right? So patient receives a kit, they go online, they enter their information, their address, the type of kit that they have, and then they enter a preferred time and date of when they want their appointment. I would like my appointment to be on Monday at 9 a.m. And they hit the enter request. And let's say it's in Houston, Texas. All of our mobile phlebotomists in Houston, Texas will now get the notification about that appointment in their app, right? So the first person who's able to do it, they'll pick up that appointment in their app. This is where the app will have them review the collection instructions, right? It will tell them about what kind of kit that patient has so that they're familiarized with it, so that they don't feel like they're walking in completely blind to a patient's house. Now comes the scheduling aspect of it. We tell patients that we will try to meet your preferred time and date as best as possible. And we are actually meeting it 90, 90, 95% of the time. But we do disclose to them that if the mobile phlebotomist cannot meet this preferred time, when they call you to confirm, they will coordinate the next best availability directly with you. And we did this because mobile phlebotomists know their area better than I do. They know their traffic better than I do. They might have other appointments. We don't want to enforce, you know, these unique specific times. And we disclose that to patients. We say, hey, it's going to be about 90, 95% of the time chance that we'll meet this preferred time. And if it needs to be adjusted half an hour early, later, an hour early, later, a different day, instead of you going back and forth with me over emails or trying to get in contact with the support team, you have a direct contact to your mobile phlebotomist and you can let them know exactly when you want it done.
Yeah, that's smart.
And it really opens up a lot of windows and flexibility for mobile phlebotomists to be able to not only work for other companies and do jobs for them, but also be able to squeeze in their own appointments there, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, there are certain patients or certain kits or labs that have a small window and they only have like a couple days to schedule or in certain hours. And let's say a mobile phlebotomist can't meet that, we'll reassign it to somebody else, right? But we do allow them some flexibility on how and when they can schedule their appointments. And we feel that to build confidence in the patient, they don't want to talk to someone at headquarters. They want to talk to the person who's going to come and poke them with the needle, right? And so it's really important that that communication is happening between the mobile phlebotomist and the patient.
Yes, that's how you build trust.
That's how you build confidence. That's how you build a rapport. That's how you build trust. And oftentimes, that's when patients put in a request and say, can I have my same mobile phlebotomist come back to me?
Yeah, that's awesome that, you know, that's what's starting to happen, because that's exactly what people want.
Yeah, and some of these platforms, like I'm not bagging on the platforms, but I feel like the miscommunication is that, you know, patient puts in this time and they think they're set, right? They think they're all good to go and they're not hearing nothing back. Day of comes, no one's showing up. It's like, right? Well, that time was never confirmed. Well, we need to know that. The patient needs to know that, right? The patient is under the assumption that this time and date that they put is all good to go, right? So that platform, there's a huge disconnect. And being that this is a niche industry, someone's coming to your house, there's a certain bedside manner that's involved, there's a certain etiquette that's involved, you know, that level of communication and that confidence is really important to us.
Yeah. And what's your background? What makes you the right person to be doing this? Because it sounds like you have a lot of experience already.
So my background is, you know, I was well on my way to medical school. I'm originally from the San Francisco Bay Area. I've done medical missions in Nicaragua. I've done medical missions in Greece, in Afghanistan. I was very interested in saving the world and becoming a physician. And along the way, one of my jobs was at UCSF. It's a big research institute. And I got more involved in blood and processing and samples. And I started learning more and more about where this diagnostic realm is going. Basically, how much more they can tell you about you via your blood sample, right? Whether it's like genetic testing, whether it's micronutrient testing, whether it's like some cancer screening, it's just very interesting. And it really took me. And at that time, there was a need for some mobile phlebotomists, and I started getting involved in it. And I've been on several, you know, visits to patients' homes in very downtrodden areas, in very affluent areas. So like I've been everywhere, right? And you know, I really experienced some of those key pain points, right? And like the three Yeah, so I experienced some of those key pain points, and it really, you know, gave me the idea back to this initial thought of, man, this could be done better, right? And just to add on to that a little bit, you know, the three major components of this ecosystem include the partners, the patients that they refer to us, and then the mobile phlebotomists that go out and draw the sample. And I thought, if I can keep each one of these components happy and satisfied, this will be a very good ecosystem. And we've done some of those things, right? For example, all of our labs can log into a portal, they can see all their patients, and they can see an audit trail of what's happening to their patients, of who's gotten drawn, who's got a phone call, who's been confirmed and ready to go, and who's still waiting. So that level of transparency, like, for example, Natera or Invitae, when they have thousands of draws, they can't chase down every single draw and try to figure out what's happening to the draw, what's not happening to the draw. So we have a portal for them. They can literally go in there and see exactly where the last touch point is. For patients, they want, you know, quick turnaround times. And that doesn't mean that they want an appointment quick. That means they want a phone call quick, right? The appointment could be for next week, right? But they put in the request today and they don't want it to linger for the next week until the appointment day, right? They want a phone call quick.
Yeah. Today, so, I think it's like you get someone within 2 months.
Right? It's like, it's too much, right? So they put those appointments in and they're getting called quick. And the reason why is because we have that pay-as-you-go environment. Mobile phlebotomists, as soon as something comes in, they know they can do it. They're on it. They want to pick it up. They want to call the patient and they want to let them know, hey, you're my patient. I'll see you next week on this particular date and time. I'll be there 30 minutes earlier, right? Now the patient knows exactly what time the mobile phlebotomist is coming. It's a local number that's calling them. It's not some like number they're not familiar with, right? And that connection is made, and now the lab can see, all right, this person has been called, it's been confirmed for next Monday, and not at 9, but at 8:30, and all that information is available to them. So transparency for the labs, quick turnaround times for the patients, and a pay-as-you-go environment with mileage and flexibility on timing and scheduling for the mobile phlebotomist. That's created this perfect mobile phlebotomy kind of a world.
That's very cool. Yeah, no, I think that's going to help a lot of people.
I really, really feel for mobile phlebotomists when they're doing all this work and they're not getting paid for it for a month. And even then, they have to go back and forth, a bunch of emails, and figure out all the details and who missed what and what. And like, sometimes they don't even get paid on certain draws because the lab won't pay them, right? For whatever reason. Yeah. I know I've heard of some horror stories, right? And like, we don't want that kind of environment. That is not the type of culture we want to build when we're trying to set the standard on mobile phlebotomy. We want to keep our network happy, right? So that's one of the key things that's really kind of helped keep this thing going.
Yeah, so I highly recommend you guys go check out Travel Lab. This is so interesting. I mean, it just sounds like it's so needed, and it's happening at the right time. I think you guys
it's are happening at the right time. Every day we get outreach from new partners who are a new lab or a new research group who are doing some unique study, and they need technicians to go out and draw blood. You know, we have an amazing support staff that works very closely with the mobile phlebotomist so that all their needs, questions, asks, wants are accommodated. We don't really nickel and dime on mileage. If you need mileage, we'll add it on to your appointment. It's not something, and we tell our partners, hey, we're not worried about, you know, getting you the least mileage. We're worried about getting you a quality turnaround time experience, right? And high NPS scores. Like, I'd rather pay someone mileage if they're going to get it done quickly than have it sit for 3 days and no one pick it up, or because for whatever reason. So, you know, if there are mobile phlebotomists out there who are listening to this, If you are a mobile phlebotomist and, you know, some of this stuff sounds interesting or appealing to you, we'd be more than happy to onboard you guys. If you guys check out and have all the right credentialing, estate certification, driver's license, et cetera, and bring you guys on board and kind of help you guys. As soon as you get on that app, you'll see appointments coming in. Am I allowed to share my screen on this, Hennessy?
Yeah.
I'll just give everybody a quick little peek because the first question a lot of mobile phlebotomists ask are, well, how much work do you get in this area, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm not sure. We're nationwide. I can pull up my reports of the last year and show you, but it's kind of a, I don't really dictate or delegate where the work is coming from, right? And I'll show you guys a small portal. This is what we work with. I'm on Pacific time. It's about 9:30 in the morning. So within the last half hour, you know, appointments are coming in and they're coming in all over the country, Connecticut, Michigan, Wyoming, Idaho, New York, California. They're all over the country. And as they're coming in, that a phone call was made and a time and date was confirmed. I want to show you guys a little bit of this. Appointment came in. It was requested for the 14th at 3 p.m. Technician picked it up within 30 minutes, contacted the patient using a text message, and it was confirmed for that preferred time and date of 3 p.m. App is fluid. So wherever you go in the country, you will see appointments in the area. So if you're traveling, if you're on vacation, if you got your supplies for whatever reason, I don't know why you would have your supplies on vacation, but some mobile phlebotomists do. And if you're traveling somewhere, if you're going somewhere for a couple of days and you have your stuff on you, there will be appointments in the area. And so we're pretty flexible with where you're going and where you're drawing blood. Yes, there are some credentialing conflicts, but fairly, for the most part, you could be traveling to other states and drawing blood as well.
Why hasn't anyone else done this?
I think a lot of people have tried. I think a lot of people are trying, right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are trying to do, like, they have like these war chests of investors, like millions and millions of dollars to spend
VC
money
backed.
On. They are very much so VC backed. I am not VC backed. I did this all on my own. We got some help, but like, we don't have like some VC money. And it's unfortunate that they just spend all this money on nothing, right? Like, you have all the cool bells and whistles, you have all this stuff, but like, is it working, right? Or are things getting done? Do you have coverage, right? These are the key questions we ask them. And so it blows my mind that in healthcare, we're doing a bait and switch. Like, this is the price, but on the day of, no, this is the price. That it blows my mind that we can get away with that in healthcare, first of all. Second, I think these companies fail to understand the culture of mobile phlebotomy. And what is that culture? It is a flexible culture. It is a pay or work when you have a gig culture. It is a, I don't want to be in a clinic 40 hours a week culture. That is a type of culture that it's really adopted. And I know the majority of mobile phlebotomists are pivoting over from like life insurance and all this other stuff. We're doing less work and we're paying them about the same. And so they're trying to come in and hire people full time to be on the road. And now they're optimizing schedules and they're doing like, we don't have to overcomplicate it. Someone needs a blood draw. The mobile phlebotomist picks it up. They coordinate a time with them. They go out and get it done. It's real simple.
Wow. Yeah, no, you've given me so many different ideas now, thinking about what mobile phlebotomy is and what's it going to be. So what do you think the future is going to look like for travel?
The future is looking bright. The future is looking bright. And I'm hoping to continuously, be kind of the leader for the mobile phlebotomists here, because these VC companies, man, they don't really care about you. They don't care about the industry. They don't care about, they're just in it to make their investors and their advisors and all these other people happy. I'm in it to keep everybody happy, most likely the mobile phlebotomist, because if they're not happy, their work is not getting done, the partners are not happy, et cetera. So it really starts with them. I do see, just to go back a little bit on what I said, there is a lot of stuff that's happening in the clinic that COVID or the pandemic shed light on that could be happening at home. We are looking to pivot into other services like vitals collections, like, you know, biometric screening, setting up remote patient monitoring devices. I mean, our network of mobile phlebotomists is so multifaceted that we can train them or orient them and they can be able to do several other services in the home. But I don't think mobile phlebotomy is going anywhere. I think mobile phlebotomy is going to become continuously a staple for healthcare. If you want to get healthy, the first thing a doctor says is go get blood work. Have you been to a Quest or a LabCorp lately? It is ridiculous how much of a line and how much of a wait time is happening, at least in this area. Why can't these patients just have someone come to their house and get it done on their own time at their own convenience, right? I think the convenience issue, the wait, and just like how many patients fall off because they never go to the lab and get it done because of all of the wait times and all of this other key stuff, right? So if we're really in this together and we really want to elevate health in this country, we have to start exploring these additional pivots. And mobile phlebotomy is one of the like key components of it. It is literally, if the blood draw doesn't happen, we can't analyze results. We can't tell you what's wrong with you, right? So it's literally like the bridge, right? So I think more and more people are learning about it. I think as we continue to grow our network, we'll be able to service more and more people. We work with a lot of very publicly traded companies. We work with a lot of academic institutions, Johns Hopkins, Brown, Columbia, UCSF, Stanford, University of Florida, Vanderbilt. It goes on and on. And then we get off the one-off physician or patient who just wants to utilize the service as well. So I think it's bright. I think there is a lot of room for growth still. And I think we're just scratching the surface here. I'm not too worried about some of these other companies. I've seen many come and go. And I think the main reason why they come and go is they're not passionate about it. You know, they're just trying to turn over a business. They don't understand the culture. They don't understand the people that are out there doing the work. And I think those are one of our strong suits.
Yeah, it is. So keep that, right? I mean, like,
I will keep that.
That's your story. That's your story.
That's my story. That's right.
Is there anything that the listeners, that we at ArmHug can do to help you? Is there anything?
No, I'm just happy for you to have me on your podcast here. I really appreciate you taking the time and building ArmHug to shed light on what's happening out there in the industry, what opportunities are there, what capabilities are there. And, you know, hopefully together we can be a voice for the network and the small guys out there trying to get some work and, you know, who are very good at their job, who just need a platform, who just need an opportunity or a window to go out and get things done and, you know, and increase their own resumes and be exposed to some of the new things that are happening in science.
Okay. This is going to close on me, so I'll probably send you another link. So for people like in doctor's offices and they're looking for work and they, you know, they haven't heard of your platform, how are people learning about you? You know, are you guys marketing?
Unfortunately, we are not marketing. We're just really busy with what we got going on. It was probably be a key component to start marketing. Right now, we're really looking, we're partnering with companies, right, who need blood draws for their patients. And then sometimes we get a physician who just wants to use it for their personal practices, right? And every now and again, we'll get a patient whose daughter or son is calling because they're too old and they don't want to go to the lab or for whatever barrier. So we're open to service everybody, but we probably should do a better job of getting the word out, right, to those people who don't know that we exist. My last thoughts here are kind of sum this up is if you're a private practice and you want to utilize this for your patients, feel free to reach us out. We'll make an account. We'll give you guys a link. You can schedule. will handle the draw, the drop off, all those key things. Even if it's Quest or LabCorp or something conventional, we have premium mobile phlebotomists in certain areas that do have tubes and do have all that key stuff as well in case they don't have it. If you're a patient that's just looking for service, you could always visit our website and just schedule an appointment. And if you're a mobile phlebotomist who wants to learn more about how you can join our network and how you can pick up some draws in your area, you know, I wouldn't rely on this to be a full-time gig. Let's say you have something part-time or full-time and you want to do some extra work on the side. We're completely open to that as well. This is a very inclusive environment and culture that we want to build here. Our key is to help you better do your job out in the field and offer better service and work around your schedule. And so, you know, anyone interested, you can always visit us at travelab.com, hit the company join us button. I know Henesis will be probably including a link here as well. But yeah, other than that, we're really looking for this thing to grow. We're always looking to onboard. Our recruitment and onboarding never stops. If you are a mobile phlebotomist out there and you want extra work, please join us. So long as you have the proper credentialing and the experience, we'd be more than happy to bring you on board.
Yeah, this is so exciting. Thank you, Nuit, for all of this information. Yeah, no, definitely we'll have you back on because I'm sure there's going to be a flood of people just looking for opportunities like this. Like I said, you're here at the right time. So, you know, looking forward to collaborating.
Yeah, likewise. And thank you for all you're doing out there, Henesis. Keep up the good work and keep up, pushing and advocating for all of these new cool things that people don't know about.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right. No problem. Have a great day.